Hello, this is Richard Jacobs with the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast. This is part two of a podcast I recently did talking about getting reviews. We had a very positive incident with one of our clients. We had worked on getting him reviews, and he was a bit hesitant about it, but we said, let's mail a much bigger part of your list than we suggested at first. So he wanted to do probably about 50 clients, but we said, hey, let's go for 500. Let's be real ambitious. So we did that, and we got some really great results. And then we did another 500, another 500, another. This attorney has almost 2,000 people on his newsletter list. So first of all, I want to definitely commend this attorney because he's been building his newsletter list for years, and that's a pretty significant number for an attorney. He has about 1,800 and change people on his list, and that's fantastic. It doesn't mean that anything's wrong if you have a list of 100 people. If you have no list at all, this shows you that it is possible to get quite a large list of people. Depending on your practice area, some bankruptcy people obviously will be much quicker to get up to thousands of people than, let's say, personal injury. But it's very doable to have a list of hundreds of people on your email list, your newsletter list. So we sent out and we asked for reviews in the special way we do. And as I mentioned last time, he got 110 new positive reviews. Three of them were bad, but 107 out of them were positive. And when I say positive, I mean five stars were about 85 or 90 of them, and the rest were four stars. So that's an unbelievable result. Out of these reviews, a lot of them were just written. They came back to us through email, but we have the person's name and their email address and what they wrote. So we got a lot of intelligence about it. So those reviews where they just wrote back, those will go on his website. They've been put there, and this radically expands the amount of reviews on his website. And one thing that we've done is, depending on the practice area or the sub-practice area that this guy practices, we put them on those relevant pages. So they're not just all on his testimonials or reviews page. If someone does DUI, we have a DUI review on a DUI page. If someone does auto accidents, we have an auto accident review on that page. If someone does a couple practice areas, let's say they do family law and criminal defense, a family law review goes on the family law page, criminal defense on those pages. Plus, they all go on the regular review page. So reviews are super. There's a bunch of ways to use them. I'm going out over them now. So one, they're putting them on the website. Out of these 110, we got 20 people to do them on Google, Google Maps listings. So that radically increased the number of reviews he has. He's up to, I believe, about 70 now, which is a lot. It's a lot more than most attorneys get after years of work. We did this rather quickly by emailing his whole list in segments. We also got five new Yelp reviews. Again, big boost. He has plenty of Avvo ones, so we're going to rotate in a request to do Avvo at some point. But so far, tremendous success. Now, I want to go into some of the nuances of this success. So this attorney is ethnic. He's of a certain ethnicity. And yes, he does have clients of that ethnicity. But when we review the reviews, I didn't realize how many people he had of this particular ethnicity. So out of the 110 reviews, I would say about 80 of them were from this particular ethnicity. You could tell by the names. It was pretty obvious. If you think that's stereotyping, I'm sorry, but it was just obvious. If you knew what the ethnicity was, I'm not going to reveal it for privacy, but you it's obvious, trust me. So I saw, okay, this guy's got a great opportunity. So we took this data back to him. We said, look, Mr. So-and-so, attorney so-and-so, 80 out of your 110 reviews were from people of this ethnicity. Are you advertising in newspapers and online magazines and banks and realtors and lawyers and all the people and doctors that service this particular community? Because what I've observed, and undoubtedly you have observed, is, if you're in Minnesota and there's a big Ethiopian population, Ethiopian people tend to go to Ethiopian restaurants, hire Ethiopian realtors and lawyers if they're out there, and stick with their own people. Same thing with Greeks in New York or Chinese people in San Diego. It's just how it goes. Not all of them, of course, but a vast majority of people of a different ethnic community or a certain ethnic community trust more highly people within their community. It's just how it goes. This is just fact. Sorry, but this is reality. So we spoke to this attorney and we said, look how many people you got from this ethnicity. Again, you should be advertising in all kinds of media that they read and consume. And you should advertise and do swaps with all the professionals that they use. If you do that, you're going to ensconce yourself even more in that community and you're going to get tremendous more business. And he was happy with this. He said, great, I love these people. These are my people. I would love to do that. What do we do? So we went over a plan and we got him going, which we'll know the results of in a month or so. But we got him going with some local media in his particular niche, in his particular ethnicity. And the rates are really cheap because these are not major publications that everyone advertises in. So again, I'm just making this up. If you're Ethiopian and you want to advertise in an Ethiopian blog, it is not expensive. Trust me. And your audience is all Ethiopian. Who else is going to read that thing? So it's incredibly targeted. You have a tremendous affinity with that ethnicity. Now, you don't have to be of a certain ethnicity to take advantage of this. If you speak Spanish, for instance, you can do this with Hispanic people. You don't have to be Hispanic yourself. Or if you speak Chinese, or if you have someone in your office that can translate and knows another language and another culture, if they do Hindi, whatever it may be, you can get into that community. Even if you don't speak the language, even if you're not of that ethnicity, you can still get in that community. An example of this is one of our clients. He's been with us probably 12 years. He's pretty much my oldest client. He's in South Jersey and Pennsylvania. And he helped, as it so happens, a few people in the Indian community. They were Hindus. And once he got two of them, they started referring. And he got more and more people in the Hindu community. And he started getting some testimonials from them. And when that happened, things mushroomed. And now a pretty significant percentage of his population are Hindu people, even though he's a white guy, bald white guy. He looks nothing like a Hindu person. But he does really well because he developed an affinity and they know him, they trust him, and they work with him. So this is a kind of a back door for attorneys, but it's an uncluttered niche. It's an uncluttered area that you can target. And reviews actually may give you tremendous hints about your practice. There are always lopsidedness. There's always a skew, I promise you. I don't care if you do, you know, auto accidents. No one knows, obviously, who's going to get into an auto accident, but it doesn't matter. You're naturally going to attract a certain type of person. You may attract a certain ethnicity. You may attract a certain, income level. You may attract people from a certain area of your city because your office is close or because of some wrinkle in Google that's where you're showing up more strongly. You may attract certain people because you've had people, again, of that ethnicity or that background before. And it does not matter the practice area. If it's divorce, no problem. If it's, again, auto accidents, which you would think pretty much are random, does not matter. You can still target a niche, which is wonderful news. And like I said, you can advertise to these people in all their local media, which is going to be 50 to 90% cheaper than advertising in normal media. You can still use normal media, Facebook, Google, etc. But tell me, who in family law in Minnesota is going to be advertising specifically to Ethiopian people for a divorce? Pretty much nobody. They're just going to do shotgun blast to everyone around them. If you do that, you've got a targeted message. Ooh, you're going to do really well. So this is some of the lessons we learned from analyzing these guys' reviews, which is really cool. Another suggestion we made to him is he does this, again, this monthly newsletter. And we said to him, write an article specifically in this language, in this ethnicity that you deal with. Because, again, if most of your clients are from that ethnicity, and again, I'm just picking this at random, it's not the ethnicity, but if they're Ethiopian and they see an article in Amharic, you know, which is the language of Ethiopia, they're going to be like, whoa, and it'll target them and they'll be like, wow. You know, this lawyer really knows us and speaks to us, and he's talking literally in our language, and they're much more likely to hire you. News agencies that deal with these different niches are more likely to pick you up too. So this is a great shortcut to get to an authority position, and this all can come from looking at your reviews. I'm going to give you another good tidbit. So we've done review gathering for a bunch of our clients. Two of them, I remember, because one of them, most of his reviews are bad, and he did not want to hear it. But the stuff that they said in the reviews was true. A lot of them were saying he wasn't going to court on the day, he would send someone else that wasn't super familiar with the case, and the person was just like, you know, smacked upside the head and like, what the hell's going on? You were supposed to come, Joe Blow, and Jane Doe came, and she doesn't know my case. What the hell? So this guy had a lot of bad reviews. We told him, hey, man, you need to address this because this is hurting your ability to, you know, again, get positive reviews. You're going to get negative ones when you ask because of how you treat people. And your business, obviously, is suffering because of this. You're not going to get referrals. And word gets out. No one's going to want to hire you because they'll say, oh, I had him. He was terrible. You know, the day of court, someone else came and they screwed up my case. So you can learn a lot from reviews. It's not fun, but if you do a good job, which I'm sure most of you do, it'll be okay. Mostly you will get positive reviews and you can learn from what's written in them. What are people specifically saying? What do they like about you? Do they like your communication style, your friendliness, your responsiveness, your knowledge? Do they like your staff? Is there a particular staff person? You know, Bob on your staff is like just super warm and welcoming and friendly, and everybody loves Bob and mentions him, etc. So these are all great things that can come out of analyzing reviews. And obviously, again, the negative ones, you know what's good is now you have a chance to fix it. You could reach out to those people and apologize if needs be. You could reach out to those people and say, hey, I saw your review. To be frank with you, a bunch of other clients said the same thing. It's something I take responsibility for. I need to address. How can I improve? Because I don't know and I want to improve. I want to give better service to you, so-and-so. And in the future, I want to give better service to other people. And guess what? If you approach someone like that, they're almost never going to say, get out of here. They're going to say, you know what? That's really cool of you to do. Here's what happened. And they're going to vent their frustration. And they're going to be bonded to you. And they're going to like you. And I've had one-star reviews turned into five-star reviews from that process. I've talked to some people that are frustrated. And I said, hey, please, now that I've worked stuff out with you, would you mind going and updating your review? I don't say give me a better one. I said, would you mind updating your review if you feel it's warranted to reflect what's going on now and how you feel about me right now? And I've had a few people, again, change from one-star to five-star reviews for some of my clients. And that's awesome. Because it kills two birds with one stone. It gets rid of a negative review and gets you another positive one. So I could go on for a long time. And there's just so many positive things about asking for reviews. I mean, it's definitely something you should do. If you want to help with this because it may be a scary thing and you may fear bad reviews, we have a system we've developed that works really well to get you honest reviews. And if they're positive, we also have a system where it's more likely they'll be posted. If they're negative, we have a system where it's less likely they'll be posted and you will have time to talk to the person in a lot of cases and try to make this review better. So if you're interested in this, if you're interested in building a moat around your practice and becoming a true authority in your niche and finding some of the lopsidedness or the selects in your list, the things that stick out or in predominance, and capitalizing on them, again, as an ethnicity, as an age, as a sex, as a whatever it may be, everyone has skews in those lists. If you want help with all this, call us at 888-225-8594 or visit speakeasymarketinginc.com and talk to us and we'll be glad to help you. Thank you so much and it's been a great experience for me working with this client and I hope you benefit from what I told you.